Jimbo, their performances at home seem to be different than they've been on the road. I mean, even the games they've lost, they've been really close games. Have you seen them play with more confidence
Well, I
or
think
something
teams they've
different?
played, and of course you do. A lot of teams feel much more comfortable in their own venue. So, and it obviously seems like that with Florida, because again, they got a great home crowd. Stands are always got great crowd, great environment, great atmosphere. So it makes it good to play in. That's for sure. And they have played well.
Jim, I know their numbers aren't as good defensively, but do you see similar type athletes that you've always seen on that side of the
Oh
ball
yeah,
for
I mean they
Florida?
can run. They're physical. They can hit. I mean Duke Dawson's been around forever. Brian is a heck of a player up front. Levin can. I mean the linebacker tackles well. The corners are young and athletic. Let's see, CeCe Jefferson. You know CeCe's been around. We recruit the heck out of him. He's a great player up front. I've had some guys injured, and of course we've had a couple guys suspended on some things. But they're athletic and can run and tackle. Offensively, good backs, good skill guys can run, and kicker and punter are tremendous. I mean they. Their punter kicks it a mile, and their kickoff guy is about an 85, 87%. You know, kick it out of the end zone, got great range on field goals, so they're good in all those phases.
And how, yeah, I was going to ask about. Actually, going to ask about their kickers. I mean, they have maybe one of the best kicking games in the country with that field goal kicker and that
They
punter.
do. They can hit it now. Hit it a long ways and hit it where they want to hit it. Not just one of them long drives are in the rough. I mean, they hit them right down the fairway where they're supposed to be.
Jim, obviously, I'm sure you're familiar with their quarterback, Felipe Franks. Just what did you see out of him coming up, and what type of player do you think he is?
Big, strong, athletic, won a lot of games, almost won a state championship, was just a few seconds away from winning the state championship down at Wakulla. Can throw it a mile. You see the scramble plays where he throws it 60, 70, 75 yards in the air, and you see there's also a run. Once one of them, he broke one about 80 yards coming off their goal line, had an 80-yard run. You see the athleticism, be able to keep plays alive, and each week gets better and better. Big, strong, athletic guy that can make plays, and great kid, great family.
And then also both teams coming in off of big wins. Do you think it's good just kind of for the rivalry in general for both teams to get a kind of a boost, confidence and momentum
Well, I
from those
think
two?
make everybody feel good going into the game, that's for sure. And like I say, the records go out the window, as they say, when it's a rivalry game. But at the same time, you always want to come off a positive performance. It helps your confidence in what goes on.
Coach, Derwin got his first pick six last week. Seems like he's coming along. Last few weeks, what have you seen out of him in the last few weeks where it seems like he's finding those big
Getting
plays?
in the groove to playing. I mean, you got to remember, he started partially as a freshman. Still finding his way, and then all of a sudden gets hurt right off the bat, as a sophomore, and then he comes right back to play at the beginning of this year, and everybody's got this world of expectation, and then he plays well, but I mean, it takes the time to play yourself into it, and he's into a groove. The season goes on, and he's a big, strong guy, and he's one of them guys who feasts. The longer it goes, the better he plays, and he's getting comfortable with everything, and you see him just really making the plays, and I think the last 3 or 4 weeks really getting in the groove and seeing Derwin, what he has a chance to really be.
Last time you guys played Florida, what do you remember about the play where he hurled the Florida offensive tackle? Do you remember that play? Do you remember seeing that
I
play
was on a
firsthand?
pass rush down there. Yeah, I mean, again, what happens is it's not just the power, but what generates that is the speed. He's starting to come off the edge, so those big guys got to hurry so much, and it catches them off balance. And then those great athletes can stick their foot in the ground, change direction, and catch you when you're not on your most powerful angle and throw you. And I think that's one of the great things about speed edge rushers or big safeties that can rush and blitz, that they generate the respect of the edge. What you got to get to, and sometimes you got to get to it so fast as a big guy, you can get caught off balance, and they can rechange. And then most safeties don't have that power to come, to transition back into like a normal linebacker or a defensive end, and he does. And he got a great rush on that play.
Jimbo, for the first time in a while, this isn't the last game of the season the way things got rescheduled. Do you like the tradition of Florida State being part of that rivalry week in the final week of the year?
Yeah, I think it's great. I mean, I do think it's great. But I think it's tough as a non-conference game. Which I think you heard Steve say for years, when there's conference championship games the next week, I think is a very tough thing to do emotionally to play that kind of game and then turn around and play a conference championship game. Because I remember when Florida State didn't have a conference championship game, remember he was, I think, lobbying to get it moved early in the year because they would have to play their emotional big rivalry here and then turn around and play a conference championship game, which is tremendous, which is very tough, which does make it tough. Now, everybody says, well, they're across the country, but Alabama, those are still for the division title. They're still within their own league. You know what I'm saying? So it is a very unique thing, but no, it is what it is, and it makes it part of the rivalry week, and it's great. I mean, again, one of the great rivalries.
Jimbo, when did you guys first start recruiting Joshua Kando? I guess what stuck out to you initially when you first saw the tape or first popped on the
radar? His length, size, athleticism. And then once you met him, his intelligence level. This guy's a very highly intelligent guy, and he's a very driven guy. And when you meet his folks and family, you really see that. I mean, you're talking about great people that have blue-collar people who work their tails off, and he's got great work ethic, high intelligence, and just a tremendous upside. And you see everything on – you see the physical stature on film, but then you once you meet him, man, you just fall in love with him. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're trying to recruit him up there, too.
Coach, Florida essentially out of postseason contention. Do you worry more about a team when they have essentially nothing to lose in this one?
Well, you always got that, but you got to play. You got to understand what you have at stake and control what you can control. And you know, whether they do or not, whether what they got on the line, they're going to play. It's Florida State, so they're going to play the same type of game that they would play otherwise. It doesn't matter because that's the rivalry and what this game means.
Javon O'Derwin was feeling all right after the knee, maybe towards January next year. But did you sense any apprehensiveness from him playing?
No, not at all. Not one bit. I mean, it's the opposite. Trying to go 1,000 miles an hour too hard. I mean, he's never been apprehensive in any way, shape, or form that way.
I know James played the first half, was pretty efficient. What were some things that you wanted to see him kind of work on based on his performance?
Well, again, just making decision, process, managing the game, why you're going places. You know, ball placement, you know, how quick you're processing the game, what you're seeing, and when it's coming out of your hand, you know, all those types of things. And, of course, the accuracy and finishing the plays.
All right, we'll go to the phone now. Gary, go ahead.
Yeah, Jimbo, we figured Randy Shannon as a combination of a player and coach has gone against Florida State 23 times in his career. And I wonder what you've always thought of Randy as an assistant coach and then as a recruiter. In this game, he's got some longevity in this business. And what's your general thoughts about Randy?
I thought he was excellent. I mean, I recruited South Florida for many, many years against him when I was at Auburn and LSU, and tremendous recruiter. Always, you know, very tough to go. You know, when you're going against one of the guys that Randy was recruiting, you had your hands full, and it was very tough to get him. As a coach, he's accomplished a lot. As a coordinator, he's won national championships as a player, won him as a coach, won multiple national championships as a coach, I believe, there. And, you know, I think 1 year won the Frank Broyles Awards, the Outstanding Assistant Coach of the Year, and did a great, you know, has been a head coach and had success there too. So I think in all phases, Randy's, I mean, business, you don't stay in the business as long as he has accomplished what he's accomplished and done what he's done if you're not a heck of a coach. He's a great guy. He's a very good guy. I've known him a long time, like Randy. I like Randy personally. And I think he's a good guy, a very good coach, his assistant, head coach, and all things in which he does.
And regardless of what happens with the coaching situation here, sounds like you have no doubt that Randy will land on his feet somewhere in a good
position. Oh, yeah, Randy's been in this business too long and accomplished too much and has too good a reputation and people know him too. Or too good a guy. Most definitely will.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right, Chris, go ahead.
Hey, Jimbo, how are you doing?
Good. How are you doing, Chris?
Doing great. Talk about Rizzo and Constantino. What did they do? What did they bring to the game last Saturday? Because I know we had a very good game against Delaware State. What did they see?
Well, I mean, J.J. Command did very good, 6 for 7, very efficient. First, those it was just threw it a little bit low, but then got in a groove, made good decisions, led our team, did well. And Jake did a great job getting in the game. It was great to get him an opportunity to get in the game. Like I said, that doesn't happen a lot, but you see Jake has a very talented, he has a great arm, and you know, a very talented guy and a great kid. He works his tail off in practice, so it was great for those guys.
And just talk about the Florida defense. Last week against you, Alabama Birmingham, they didn't give up a lot of rushing yards, 23 yards. So what do you have to do to get the running game established?
Well, I mean, you got to block them up front. Now, Brian and those guys, CC and those guys up front, I mean, all of them, 92, 90, I mean, you know, all those guys up front, 54, Clark, I mean, all those guys are big physical guys. Their backers play downhill very quickly, and they bunch the box. So we'll have our hands full, and we're going to have to run. Our backers are going to have to break tackles and run through arm tackles and play physical on their safeties, which they bring them down quickly in the box.
Thanks, Jimbo.
Thank you.
Jimbo, in 98 at Auburn, was Terry, did he resign before the season was over?
Middle of the season.
You stayed on the staff, though. What kind of challenge is that to coach the final 4 or 5 games of a season?
It's extremely challenging. For your kids, the unknown, for them, keeping them together, you know, and then them knowing, all right, who's my coach going to be, who's my assistant coach? I mean, you have no idea. It's an extremely, extremely challenging thing. And the big thing is, then coaches. I mean, you got coaches who say, okay, do I finish the season? Am I looking for a job? All those types of things. And the thing you got to remember, do what's right for the kids. Do what's right for the kids. And that was the thing that was right. And it's, you know, because they have so much uncertainty around them, and they only get a 4-year window to be able to do this. So, you know, it was very good to keep those kids together, meet with them a lot, talk with them a lot, and try to keep them together so you can finish the season.
You were a young coach, so how did you handle it?
Same way. Just same way. Just did what's best for the kids. Always thought about things, you know, what's the right thing to do and who's the most vulnerable here. And I've always said this, whether you're a coach, an AD, a writer, anything you got, none of y'all would have a job. We wouldn't have a job if it wasn't for the kids. That's what you're writing about. And at the end of the day, it's what it gets back to.
Jimbo, do you remember a season, or have you had a season where you've played this many times the defensive line? There's some you play every year, but between Alabama, Miami. And
yeah, I have. I have. I mean, that's just part of it. I mean, when you're in the South, everybody's got D linemen. When you're in the South, you're in the Southeastern part. I mean, everybody's got them across the country, but there's nothing like the Southeastern part of the United States when you're talking about guys who put their hand in the dirt in the defensive lines. I mean, that's where – and a majority of them are recruited from here. For some reason, that's just – that's where they live, and a lot of them, and very good ones. And that makes it miserable on offense, I'll say that.
Jimbo, early in the season, you seemed to kind of challenge Nooney to kind of, you know, take on a bigger role and mm-hmm. improve his play, and it showed on the field throughout the last couple games. You know, what has kind of turned from him for throughout the season, especially with Tate has calmed down? What has kind of been
I can understand what
for Nooney, what has kind of been clicking for him that he's been able to perform how he's performed?
Well, I think consistency. Doing what you're coached to do it and the way you're coached to do it and why you're coached to do it and to do it over and over and over at a consistent level so your quarterbacks and people can read you, trigger you. So that's what people don't understand. You can run a route and be open, but how does it look to the quarterback? There has to be a relationship there. How you trigger routes, how you set routes up. And now when you get certain leverages, which is any route in any offense in the United States of America, however you run that route, run it that way every time so that consistency and knowing where you're at. You always heard the stories of Peyton Manning coming out running a route with a guy 1,000 times and just run one route a day so he could read the body language of the things. And because you got to throw that thing sometimes when you're under duress, when you're wide open, when a guy's in your face, when you got to step to the side. I mean, so many different things. And he's just getting more consistent that way.
You kind of challenged him kind of with us earlier this season in the media. And after the game Saturday, you had no problems, you know, saying what he did wrong and not.
Yeah,
and
move on. We'll move on.
That kind of challenges, like, accepts a challenge and can take being kind of shout out in the media.
Not shout out. You saw it. You asked about it. It's not being shout out. What did he do wrong? So this is what he did wrong, and this is what he corrects, and that's what we all do. As an athlete, everything you do is shouted out in the media. I mean, there's nobody blaming anybody. You saw what happened. We saw what happened. You see what happens. And I never call a kid out in the media. Never have, never will. But when you ask him why he did something, okay, then you move on. But it's part of it.
Jimbo, you've been part of the Iron Bowl and many great rivalries, but how much does it speak about this rivalry in both programs that this is only the second time that both teams have been under 500 going into the game?
Tells you the winning in the history and the tradition. There's no doubt about that. I mean, both teams are extremely used to success. And, that's, you know, and always have been, always will be, and will be in the future. So that's why it's one of the great rivalries, because there's true meaning in the outcome of the game.
Jimbo, on a game like Saturday where some young guys and walk-ons and people like that get to kind of all the years of hard work, could you reflect on all the years of hard work that go into a Justin Motlow making that catch or some of the offensive linemen?
People have no idea. You have no idea the hours. And understand something. They know when they first come here, they're coming here for the love of ball, and they have a dream of playing. There's nobody can tell them they can't play. But the odds of that happening and getting significant time and doing things are very low. And to me, that's what the true definition of courage and is to me, is going in knowing that, you know, you're scared and I don't have a good chance, but I'm going anyway because it's what I love to do. And to watch those guys work and work their way into that situation and have a few – think about this. Talk about moments. You may get one moment. You may get two chances at a moment, and you got to capitalize on them. And to see those happen, and you want it to happen for them so bad. It's like watching your own little kids out there. You know, when you watch your kids play ball and you see them do things and, man, do it, yeah, yeah, and you feel better than they do. You feel so – it's watching. I'm not – but it's just because you know the hours and the hours of work where no one looked at him and appreciated. Yeah, yeah, go do it again. We're coaching this guy over here. Make sure you give him that look. You know what I'm saying? You know what kind of person that takes? And in today's time, those people are fewer and far between. They go out and do it. But there's a lot of them out there. And to watch that, man, the joy, it makes you so happy. I mean, so happy. Because what if that's your child? I always look at it. What if that was your child? I mean, and you got to try to do that over and over and over again. To get a chance to go through practice and to get me my one opportunity in one game a year, or two games a year, or three plays a year, or five plays a year for me to walk on that field like everybody else does. Man, that's what it's all about.
Coach, Florida might not have a chance of making the postseason, but you guys most definitely do. Is that something you guys talk about this week? Because there's so much to talk about with this
No,
game.
We always say that's part of our goals. We always remind them. We always talk about the 40-35, and we always say that, you know, just out of respect, you know, remember that. But then you move on, and what do we got to do to have success this week?
Jimbo, with the frustrations of this season, how big would it be to win, to end it on a winning note, to beat your rival again?
Well, it's what it's about. I mean, whether you have a winning season or a losing season, that game is still significant in how the season's ranked. I remember we were 12-2, and we lost to Florida that year and won an Orange Bowl, and everybody was mad. And we won the ACC. First ACC title they'd had in over 8 years. We won an Orange Bowl that year and won 12 games the first time. First New Year's Bowl in over 13 years, people weren't happy. So just as happy you were there, you're just as unhappy when you win and lose. So, and it was the only time we've ever lost to them. So, I mean, I can remember that season. I mean, not bad, but, I mean, that's what that game means. So playing your rival does mean. It means a lot.
Jimbo, Urban Lane also celebrated Senior Day in the last game. You know, his career coming in as a five-star receiver and moving positions. What can you say about him kind of being kind of like an ultimate
team? Did a great job. Did everything we've asked him to do. Has worked hard. Had some unfortunate injuries. Had a foot injury and some different things at times that have hindered him. But at the same time, he's worked hard and we're great. And hopefully he can, you know, if he has a chance to prolong it into the next level, we'll never know. We'll just wait and see. And hopefully he does. And hope he gets a degree and does a great job. But he's been everything we've asked him to do. He's made plays at offense, on defense, special teams for us. So, great kid.
I had a facility question for you. Why is it so important to kind of have a –
We can't talk about facilities. Ain't that right? We ain't allowed to talk because you write articles about me talking about facilities. Now I can't write. I can't answer a facilities question. So which one of you teed that one up? Can't talk about facilities. We ain't allowed. It's inappropriate, right?
Okay. So now it's inappropriate.
It's inappropriate. We ain't allowed. Corey said so. Corey said so. Your buddy in the Democrat said so. He's trying to get another article out of there. See? Oh, okay. No, I'm laughing. What do you ask your question? What do you want?
The importance of having a centralized facility.
You have no idea. The efficiencies of time, the time constraints you're on, for the efficiencies of players, for their time between meetings, study halls, class, student, because their time is on such a – their days are strung out so – have no idea today's time. It's 10 times what it was even 10 years ago, that the schedules they're on and what they're asked to do. And when you're wasting time in between, you're wasting development time for them. And when the buildings can't flow and you have the facilities and all the things that help train them, it just makes the deficiencies grow.
Excuse me, drop these guys.
Jimbo, DeAndre wasn't at the game on Saturday. Is there a policy on injured players coming to games, or No. Is it just player discretion?
Player discretion.
Just going back to Motlow for a second, just since the touchdowns happened and everything, how many texts or messages have you gotten on the significance of it and a Seminole catching a touchdown?
No.
Said he got 400 of them.
He did it. He did it. I mean, and shouldn't be for me. Should be for him. It shouldn't have anything to do with me. Should do with him. He went out there and worked and did it himself, and he gets all the credit and all the glory. Should, 1,000%. He earned it.
Did you call it a play specifically for him?
Because well, I thought we had. I thought it was a nice play for us to succeed, and I thought he would have a chance to catch that ball. But again, you don't know what the defense is going to do. You don't know what the rush is going to do, and the quarterback's got to see the right. You know, see what you see and the leverages and all that stuff. I mean, so.
Jimbo, how can playing the game at Clemson, which is obviously a tough venue with your freshman quarterback, and now going into it is also a really hostile, tough environment at the Swamp, how much does that help
experience
some of the younger players have that experience
of knowing what you're going into? At least you have, you know, people say what it's like. Oh, that's what it's like. You know what I mean? So, I mean, anytime it's like you or anything any of us do, if you've done it once, well, at least it gives you a life's experience to relate back to hey, this is what I expect. This is what's going to happen. This is how, you know, last time maybe I didn't do that well, or I know I got to work on noise a little bit more this week. I got to, my communication skills or making sure I'm talking to people where they see my lips moving. Because a lot of times you'll talk as a quarterback when you're at home, you'll turn and they can hear you. But you got, when you're on the road, you got to make sure they see your face and read your lips. You know, little thing, how you check a play. Sometimes you can do it from back here. Sometimes you're on the road, you got to walk up. I mean, all those little experiences that you know, you think you could do, but you know exactly what you got to do. Those kind of things that can make a huge difference in. Good. Thank you, guys.